All right, I'd like to invite you this morning over to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, verse 7. Genesis, chapter 42, verse 7. Genesis, chapter 42, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Once again, thanking you for the privilege of calling upon you to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, we do ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you and be drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that you might be honored and glorified in and through our lives. So bless, meet each need here this morning. And if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of salvation, may you speak to them as only you can. And we'll give you again all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is How God Deals with Sin and the Sinner, or it could also be said, a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times people kind of get defensive when they hear the word sin and sinner, but that's really what it's all about. God is wanting to restore us in a right relationship with him. And we find a beautiful picture here in the life of Joseph and his brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ and his desire to bring each and every one of us into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And of course, Joseph being a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to just kind of get some little bit of a perspective here of what's going on. And Joseph at this time, I'm just going to give you a guesstimate here. He's probably about 37 or 38, maybe 39 years old. But when Joseph was sold into slavery, in fact, we'll look at that here in just a moment, he was 17 years old is what the Bible tells us. And then his father sent him out to go look for his brethren. They were feeding the sheep. And so anyway, when he was sold into slavery, he was 17 years old. And then we find the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 46, that he was 30 years old when he was promoted to be second in command by Pharaoh himself, if you remember, because of the dreams that he was having. And then you can add another 7 years because of the 7 years of abundance before the famine came when Jacob heard that there was food in Egypt. So 30 years old, figure he's 37, maybe another year or two, 38 or 39 years old. So about 21 or 22 years have passed by that his brothers did not see him. And so we want to consider that perspective here as we get into this. I'm going to back you up to chapter 37 so we can see here the four thoughts we're going to look at this morning is, first of all, the conspiracy to commit murder. Secondly, God graciously allows us, believers and unbelievers, to see our sins. That's the only way we can come to eternal life. And then God brings us to the place to see the gravity or the seriousness of our sins. God's the only one that can do that for us as well. And then God brings us to his unbelievable, amazing grace. And that's really what it's all about. So back up with me here to chapter 37 here in the book of Genesis. And let's look at verse 14. Let's begin there. Genesis chapter 37, verse 14. And if you're familiar with this account here in this portion of Scripture, the brothers were up to no good, and Joseph reported their evil deeds, and then he was getting these dreams that he was having about how his brothers and his father were going to come and pay obeisance to him one day. And the Bible says that his brothers, they couldn't see straight, amen? They couldn't speak to him right peaceably because they were furious with him, and they were looking at this little 17-year-old, their little brother that was going to rule over them, and they couldn't get over that. and he was doing the right thing, and he was walking uprightly, and they weren't. And so typically when that happens, the people that are not walking uprightly like to do away with those that are walking uprightly, because it kind of covers up their sin. So look with me, if you will, verse 14, and notice what it says here. And he said unto him, "Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren." Of course, this is Israel, if you look at verse 13, and with the flocks, "and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So this was the first place where they were supposed to be at. And notice what happens here in verse 15. "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou?" Isn't that amazing? Look at how the Lord works everything out. I want you to see something. God had a plan, and he saw to it that it was fulfilled. God has a plan for your life and mine, and God will see to it that he will fulfill it, and as long as we're willing to follow him. But God's plan is going to come to pass, whether we're on board or not. And by the way, I want to remind you, let me ask you this question. Do you think Joseph's brothers were saved? And of course we would answer that yes, because they are the 12 tribes of Israel. They are the spiritual fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel that grew in Israel. And so they were, but they weren't walking uprightly. And of course Joseph was walking uprightly, and he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he is, he goes out, and by the way, you know when your siblings are not pleased with you, don't you? If there's a problem amongst your siblings, you know it, and usually mom and dad know it as well, right? In this particular case, no doubt the father understood it. In fact, he questioned Joseph concerning this dream, but the Bible says that he observed, the father observed what Joseph said. And you, in fact, let me back up and show you this. Notice verse 10 here. And he told his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, this dream, and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. That was not a good remark there. They were upset with him. Listen to this. But his father observed his saying. You know why? Because he had credibility. He had a good testimony of walking uprightly. So I think sometimes people come to their own conclusions about maybe Joseph was spoiled. You'll not find that in the Bible. That's made up in the mind of man. But you'll find that he is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and a merciful one. And so here is this animosity, if you will, between his brethren. But the father observed listened to and paid attention to and gave credence to what Joseph was saying. So, of course, we back down here. He's going out looking for him. The father sends him out. And then here's this man that finds him. He didn't know which direction to go, but God saw to it that this man would be there to ask him, "What are you looking for?" Because he held the answer that would fulfill the will of God in the life of Joseph. And that's amazing. Listen, it was the will of God for Joseph to be sent into Egypt. That was the will of God. Now, you and I would look at that and we'd say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother George. Isn't everything supposed to go just the way we want it to go when we walk with the Lord and know the Lord?" No, everything is supposed to go exactly the way God wants it to go for his glory and our good if we are willing to receive it. And by the way, it's not something that's easily done. In fact, it's an impossibility. How many of us say, "You know what? Yes, Lord, load me down with trials and tribulations," right? None of us would say that. We'd say, "Oh my goodness, Liz, of all things, keep me from those things." But God says, it's through the difficulties of life, it's through the trials that I will allow to enter into your life to point you to me and cause you to become dependent on me, because you'll have nowhere else to look. As long as we can look in other places, we will naturally go to those places. Did you know that? If we can get, and here's how good we are. Listen, we are really good at working ourselves good to get ourselves out of the frying pan. But where do we wind up in? Into the fire, right? We wind up in the fire. And so notice what's happening here, again, in verse 14. In fact, verse 15. "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, 'What seekest thou?' And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. Now, how in the world, why he asked him, I think the Lord's all involved. And notice, he knew. Verse 17, and the man said, they are departed hence. And I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And by the way, that was several miles away. So if he was a fellow of poor character, he said, forget it. My dad said, go to Shechem. They're not in Shechem. I'm going home. I'm not going to Dothan. But no, listen, he went to fulfill the father's will, and that was check on your brother and see how they're doing, and check on the herds also as well. And he fulfilled that. So he shows up to Dothan. And notice what happens here in verse 18. The brothers see him, and when they saw him afar off, listen, look, their heart is revealed. Even before he came near unto them, listen, they conspired against him to slay him. So here we find the conspiracy, the planning, the organization to commit murder. Is murder ever right in the eyes of God? Absolutely not. But listen, they had somehow justified it in their own hearts and minds. That was what they were going to do to be rid of this fella that they did not like. And by the way, he never did anything to them but tell the truth and to share with them what God was giving to him. So there was no real cause, but the problem was that his brothers did not like God's plan. But here's a wonderful, amazing truth here, and that is that God saw that in eternity past and made a provision to bring his will to pass and also their redemption, which is a wonderful story. And by the way, listen, God has in eternity past saw what it would take to redeem you and I as well, that we might have eternal life, and he paid the price that we might have eternal life. So look with me, if you will. Verse 19, he says, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. That's a slam on him. They're not pleased with it. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. They wanted to kill him. And they didn't want to just sell him. They wanted to kill him and be done with him once and for all and say, listen, we'll come up with a story to tell our dad. And by the way, listen, that's what they told him. And they brought the bloody coat. You know the story. And the Bible says that his father grieved many days for him. And you know what all his brothers did? They tried to console him and comfort him. And the craziest thing was they could have told him, Dad, this is what we did. He's still alive. But they didn't do that. And God knew that. So watch what happens here. So let's slay him and cast him into some pit, verse 20, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit and in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him that he might rid himself out of their hands and deliver him from to his father again. So Reuben had the idea of bringing him back home. But that was not the rest of the fellow's plan. They wanted to get rid of him. And basically that's what they did. So this was their conspiracy, if you will, to commit murder. Go with me to chapter 42 at this time. And we're going to go and see how God graciously allows us to see our sins. Now they hid this. They hid this for some 22 years. They didn't tell their father for 22 years what they did to their brother. I don't know about you, but that's a treacherous commitment of sin, wouldn't you say, against their father? And yet, boy, how callous can you be? How can you live with yourself knowing what you've done to your dad, knowing what you've done to your brother, and yet that is the natural heart of mankind? How many times people live with things and do things and don't, and today, more so than ever, I think they don't even care about the consequences anymore. We'll just commit these things and somehow we will justify it in our hearts and in our minds. We're right. It's okay to do this. And no doubt they did that. But God has a way of bringing that back to our remembrance that we might deal with it. And that's the mercy of the Lord as well. And by the way, let's stop and think about this. Was Joseph going through some trials himself? Remember, he got sold into Potiphar's house. And then God was blessing. God was with him there. Potiphar saw that. He committed everything into his hands. And then you know the story. Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him and then falsely accused him that he was trying to seduce her and got thrown into prison. And so he was there for my goodness, some 10 or more years in a very bad place where he was dealing with all these false allegations. And yet he had to be dependent upon the Lord that he was in control. And by the way, he had a good attitude because he excelled. You know, that ought to be the testimony of a believer that walks with the Lord, that in spite of what God puts into our life, we can have a cheerful attitude. We can have a positive. In fact, they ought to be able to look at us, not because of us, but because of the Lord empowering our lives, because of the Lord's joy that he has. God does not want us to manufacture joy. Because that's forget about it. It's gonna, the joy of humanity is only consistent upon what's happening and what's not happening. Is that not true? Our happiness, humanity, the happiness of humanity is dependent upon which way the wind's blowing. We're happy if the wind's blowing in our favor, but if the wind is against us, we're not happy. But God says, I've come to give you my joy that in spite of what's going on, we can be rejoicing. And that's where the Lord wants us. And by the way, that's what Joseph was learning, how to walk with the Lord and how to trust the Lord. And God was proving him. By the way, he's proving us also every day. If you're here and you're saved, you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the best is yet to come. One day, you and I are going to step into it. By the way, on this side of eternity, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Isn't that his word? And he's gone away to prepare a place for us that is going to be beyond what we could ever even imagine. So can't we believe that and rejoice in that God has given to us? We have so much to look forward to, and that's where Joseph was at. And by the way, believe it or not, that's where God wanted Joseph's brothers to be at as well. Do you know that God wants every one of us to have his joy? Amen. Every one of us. And so look how he brings this about. It comes by first God graciously allowing us to see our sins. Look at Genesis chapter 42. And let's drop down to verse 7 and notice what happens here. The famine has begun. The brethren go down to see Joseph. Verse 7 says, and Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them, but he made himself strange unto them. And spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now remember, Joseph knew who they were, and then he hid himself. Why did he do that? This was God's plan. He was following. Just as David knew he was going to have the victory over Goliath, God had also revealed to Joseph that this was the plan that he was to follow through. So he disguises himself, and notice what takes place because of this plan. Again, verse 8, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Verse 9, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies. Remember the dreams that he dreamed? You guys are going to bow down to me. Remember after the resurrection, many of the disciples, it was said, and then they remembered his words. They remembered you can't die. And then when he died, they thought that was the end of it. But then when he rose again from the dead, they remembered the words of the Lord. So likewise also, this event reminded Joseph of God's plan. And he hid himself, and he says unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said unto him, verse 10, nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. They don't even realize it, but they have already fallen into God's plan. They're already following him. Look at verse 11. We are one man's son. We are true men. That's how we see ourselves. But that's not how God sees us. We are true men. Oh, no, 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 no. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God or the righteousness of God. We have fallen short. And God has to bring about events in our hearts and in our minds before we will ever confess that before him. So right now they're true men. Thy servants are no spies, verse 11, verse 12. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren. Listen to this, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. What? Boy, oh boy, they went down memory lane, didn't they? One is not. And guess who was responsible? Guess who were the culprits and the conspirators of making that one not? Now, at this particular point, they may probably think that Joseph really died. I mean, we sold him into slavery, that he probably didn't live very long, and we're done with him. And you know who they're talking to? Their brother himself. And so one is not. He's saying, what must have been running through his mind? I am right here in front of you. And listen, sin will blind us to the truth. Pride will blind us to the truth. And notice verse 14, and Joseph said unto them, that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. And by the way, listen, Joseph understood exactly what was going on, did he not? And he was right in line with God's plan. And by the way, keep this thought in mind, Joseph was really for them. But see, there cannot be a true salvation without a true repentance, a true sorrow. And so he is dealing. God knows how to put his finger right on the button that needs to be pushed so that we'll see that, yes, Lord, I am completely lost and undone. There is no way I can touch anything, even with my best, that you would accept. No way. So he says, you are spies, and here's how I'm going to prove you. You're going to bring your youngest brother, verse 16, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. Did he know what he was doing or what? Or if he didn't know, the Lord certainly knew what he was doing to allow them to have this little get-together and this conversation here. So what happens here? Verse 18 says this, and Joseph said unto them on the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. You know, that must have been, and by the way, that's capital G, and so that's their God, and so maybe there was a little bit of reprieve in their hearts and minds, but Joseph was the one that brought God into the picture. Joseph was, the Lord is the only one that can bring God into our lives. Amen. He's the only one. Verse 19, if you be true men, remember your profession, if you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. This is his compassionate. He's concerned about them. So truly, and by the way, remember who Joseph is. He is the second to Pharaoh. And so what do you think were the brothers of Joseph thinking? This man has the authority to say, execute every last one of them, and they would be executed. And they knew there would be nothing that they could do. And so here they are, they're at the mercy of this individual who's second to Pharaoh, which is really their brother. But he says, verse 20, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, listen to this. We are verily, that word is truly, guilty concerning our brother. What brother are they talking about? What brother was it that God laid on their heart with this whole process of this trial that God had allowed into? Listen, God wanted this trial into the lives of Joseph's brothers, that his brothers might see their sin as God sees it, and that they might understand their guilt before the Lord, that they would be able to confess and ask God for forgiveness. And so, we're guilty concerning our brother. Verse 21 again, they said one to another, we are guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul. And I think it's Psalm 105, if you'll read that. He was in anguish. They put his feet in fetters and he was crying out to them. But they had deaf ears to what he had to say. In fact, if you'll remember, they threw the brother in the pit. They had shackled him and they went and ate. They had an appetite even after doing that. And so we saw the anguish of his soul, verse 21, when he sought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Do you think God put his finger right where it needed to be put? They knew exactly what was going on. They are saying the reason why this happened is because what we did to Joseph. Only God can do that. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child," speaking of Joseph, "and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Man, talk about your conviction. And notice, they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So Joseph is listening to all of this and understanding every word. And he turned himself about from them, listen to this, and went out laughing and saying, "I finally got my revenge." That was not the heart of Joseph, was it? Look at the heart of Joseph, which is also the same heart of the Lord Jesus Christ for all those that are lost and undone. It says here, and he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. Thus did he unto them. The whole idea behind what Joseph is doing is to bring them back into a right relationship. Verse 26, and they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn. And he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, "My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack." And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God has done to us?" And they're right. And they came to Jacob, their father, of the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them. And so God is at work here, isn't he? Amen. And God is now, 22 years, they didn't think a thing about it, or very little, we're not told. But boy, oh boy, now it's in the forefront of their thinking. Third thought, God brings us to the place to see the gravity of the seriousness of our sin. Look at chapter 44, if you will, you're right there. Chapter 44, and let's look at verse 12. Chapter 44, verse 12. And so they come back, and things get squared away. They bring Benjamin, and now he sends them off on their way. They think everything is fine. And notice what happens here. They bring him back. And notice what it says, verse 12. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found. Remember, they were leaving, and the cup was found with Benjamin in his sack, the cup of Joseph. And they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. They said, "Man, we're in trouble. We've got to give this back to him." And by the way, only the Lord can show them that. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Didn't Joseph tell them that was what's going to happen? But they did not realize, listen, how that was all going to work out. And it was for their good. And by the way, the Lord came that we might fall down before the Lord Jesus Christ and give him truly the homage and reverence that is due him. And Joseph, verse 15, said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Joseph, wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judas said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? Listen to this. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." They said that. Is that a confession? Do you think they meant that confession? They wouldn't have said it if they didn't mean it. "Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." They knew this was coming from the Lord. They're saying, "What is this that God has done to us?" You know what he's doing? He's bringing them, as he wants to bring us, to the end of ourselves. And so God's found out the iniquity, it says right there. And notice verse 17, and he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace and go to your, unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. He's saying, listen, I'm so afraid of you, let me just speak to you. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. He was in fear for his life. And so, how do I approach? How do I say anything to you? Is that reverence? Did that happen exactly the way God told Joseph it would happen? Do you think God would have told Joseph that if he was a spoiled, self-centered brat? No, he was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last thought, God brings us to his unbelievable, amazing grace. And we're going to find that here in chapter 45. Look at verse 1. So they're all afraid. And they're trying to make peace with Pharaoh. And notice what happens here in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Who made himself known unto his brethren? Do you know who reveals, you know who reveals the Lord to us? The Lord himself. That's the only way it can happen. The Lord reveals himself to each individual individually. It can't be a group thing. It has to be a personal thing. It's a personal relationship with the Lord, and God has to bring us to the end of ourselves. And notice what he does here in verse 2. And he wept aloud, And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were speechless. For they were troubled at his presence. If you want to know the reason why. They were troubled. Why? Here's what they know. Because if they were in his position, they might have done away with Joseph. So you know what they're afraid of? Joseph's going to do us in now. Boy, oh boy, we've done him not just wrong, but we've committed an atrocious crime against our brother, and now he's going to get even with us. But that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord is merciful. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came, listen, come near to me, I pray you. That's a request. Joseph was saying, come to me. He wasn't demanding that. You know, God does not demand us to draw near. Amen. But he calls. And if we'll hear him, we will experience the forgiveness of God. Listen, there is no other God in heaven or in earth or in the whole world that shows mercy. Any other God is a false God. I don't mean to get people upset, but there's only one true God. Every other religion asks us to do something. The true faith of the Lord Jesus Christ says God has done it for us. It's finished. And so he says this. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. No natural man in their right mind would come to that conclusion unless God were in them. We can say, oh, look how good I am. Baloney. We're fooling ourselves. Only God can bring that to pass. And by the way, listen, it has to be an active engagement in the Lord. You know how to grow tired of the scriptures? Don't practice them. That's how to grow tired of the scriptures. You want to don't put them into play in your life. You know, when I was in the 9th and 10th grade, I played junior varsity football. And out of that, we had some unbelievable. We were North Miami Beach Chargers, and we went undefeated. Not because of me. I'll tell you that right now. I was a 9th grader. I was a small guy, but we had by the way, Wyman Henderson, he played for the Minnesota Vikings, and he was only 5'10". And he played for the Denver Broncos. You can look him up. He was on that team. But we had so many guys on that team, we had a third string. You know what happened to those third stringers? You just watched them. One by one, they would quit the team. You know what they knew? They were never going to play. You know what practice meant to them? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. The second stringers hung out because the next year was our year. Amen? But here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing. Listen, if you are on a team and you never play, are you going to be excited? Why are you on the team? That's like taking lessons and never doing anything with what you're taking lessons for. That's going to become dry and senseless and of no value and of no use. And that's what will happen to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world will become more important the moment you stop practicing what the Word of God is teaching. The moment you stop trusting and pressing toward the mark that God has called every believer to. And when we start doing things our way, you think God... Listen, the brothers did things their way, didn't they? Do you think they were excited about their relationship with the Lord? No. They were doing everything in the flesh until God brought it back around to point to them saying, you guys are not right. You guys have neglected what I've called you to. Did he not call Jacob? Was he not purposing the 12 tribes to be the people of Israel? Absolutely. And they had missed what God had purposed. And today, we can look and say to ourselves, you know, we are great. We are such a good church. We're so good. And listen, by the way, we are good people. But that means absolutely nothing unless God is in our life. I'm talking about, it goes beyond salvation. If we are not practicing the faith that God is giving to us and trusting and proving the Lord, we're not growing. We've become stagnant. We're no longer a sweet savor. Listen, do you know how they brought out the fragrances of the different spices? They were crushed. God is crushing us and wants to crush us that his fragrance that's acceptable to him would come out. And so here they are, and they're in this situation, and they're in this position, and they're confused because they've been missing the program. Joseph, by the way, who was being crushed, was he not? And he was being afflicted. And he was being proved, and he walked with the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. And he understood God. And by the way, I would dare say he was humble, wouldn't you? You got to trust the Lord when you're being falsely accused. Because if not, you'll go crazy. Lord, that makes no sense, but I believe you're on the throne. And then notice, he tells them, he says, now listen, verse 5. Now therefore, and by the way, he says, come near to me. And they came near, and he said unto them, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. He didn't smooth it out for them. He said it with love. He said, here I stand, the one that listen, when a child of God, who they were, the 12 tribes, when they run away from God, they only run into him. Whether or not they deal with him the way the Lord wants us to, that's our choice. But you're never going to get away. You're never going to get away from the Lord if you belong to him. Praise the Lord. But here's the question. Will we submit to him? That's our choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And he says, now therefore be not grieved, verse 5, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. How did he see that? He was walking with the Lord. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine, so there's your 2 years, so he's 38 years old. For these 2 years hath the famine, or 39, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God, you know God wants to give us a great deliverance? Do you know who he wants to deliver us from? Ourselves. We will never see the Lord until we're delivered from ourselves. Amen. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. How did he see that? The Lord. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, hurry up, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. By the way, great news was on the horizon for Jacob. Amen. Great news was at the door for him. And God wants to give us great news as well. And so verse 8 again. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of his house, and ruler. Haste, verse 9, haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. You know that's what God wants us to do? Give everything to the Lord? That we would be near with everything that we have on our hearts to the Lord? And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest you and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. You see what happens without him? We come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them after that his brethren talked with him. Did you see what he did? They were afraid of him. But when he was weeping, and they saw the genuine compassion, and he was embracing all of them, then they could talk to him. You know, God wants to break down all the barriers in our lives that would keep us from him. But we have to be willing to trust the Lord. That's faith, isn't it? Those two words are interchangeable. But he wants us to walk with him every day. And he wants us to have what place in our lives? What place does God want us to have? What place? Number one. So who do we think about? And what motivates us to do the things that we do? And do we have room to say, Lord, I need you desperately in my life. Lord, I don't want to fail you. And without you, even though I love you, I can be like Peter and say, oh Lord, I won't forsake you. Peter didn't know he needed the Lord to not forsake him. You and I also need the Lord. And we have to see him working in our lives, or we will miss him. And here's the wonderful truth. It's God's plan, not ours, that we don't miss him. Amen. Would you stand as we pray for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you for your mercy and your grace and your undeserved, amazing grace that you have given and want to give to each and every one of us. Lord, may you work and move in our hearts and minds as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.